Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yes, Angela, doing well?
I am doing very well, yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, we've got a lot of big news out there, but before we delve into that big news, I want to talk once again. This month of May is the world's largest diaper drive happening here in Minnesota. And this is put together by Tammy from New Life Family Services. They run the First Care Pregnancy Centers, do an amazing job. In fact,
yeah,
Angela, did you know they got a medical accreditation that is very difficult to get, takes a lot of time to put together, and they have better medical accreditation than any of the abortion facilities in the state.
Yes, I think it is incredible. And yeah. I feel like now would be an appropriate time. What do you think? To talk about a new organization that's coming out of Minnesota that Tammy is a board member
well,
for.
Well, let's do the diaper drive first and then jump right back to that if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so the world's largest diaper drive is going on. Last year, they collected 342,640 diapers in the month that they did the diaper drive last year. It's going right now. This year, they've got additional centers that are participating. They've got Abrea Pregnancy Centers, Resource Centers. They got Amnion, Cross Services, Metro Women's Center. Of course, the New Life Family Services one, which are the First Care. Northfield Women's Center, Options for Women East, Pregnancy Options, Southwest Options for Women are all part of this year. All you have to do is take the diapers, buy them, go where you were going to buy them, go online and buy from the Pro-Life Diaper Company, go wherever else you might buy them, and just bring them to any of these centers and drop them off. And they really would love to far exceed that almost 350,000 they got last year. So it'd really great. And of course, if none of these centers are nearby, any pregnancy center, this is how they go. They're encouraging you to take them to any pregnancy center that's nearby and just deliver them and bring them there, because every center needs these in large quantities year round. So just a great thing to do and get that done. And now let's jump right back to this other organization, Angela, that you wanted to talk about.
Well, Tammy and a number of other pregnancy center directors in the state of Minnesota have come together to begin a pregnancy center coalition here for the state of Minnesota. And I'm really excited about it because I will be their executive director. I've accepted a role as their executive director. And this organization, I think, is really, really needed. It is there to advocate for the interests of pregnancy centers and make sure that they have the training that they need. So, for example, you and I have talked about how maybe some of the language needs to be updated when we're talking about pregnancy centers, especially when it comes to lobbying organizations or organizations that are 501c4s, which we are not. The Pregnancy Center Coalition of Minnesota is not. But they're hoping to talk with the organizations that are to really represent the interests of pregnancy centers, because, as you know, we've talked about it here, you know, the state took away any state funding for pregnancy centers back in 2023. Keith Ellison declared a consumer alert against pregnancy centers, I think, around the same time. I mean, they've just been under attack. And so it's really important that we keep the interests of pregnancy centers as a part of policy and introducing that into policy. But also it's important how we talk about these pregnancy centers and making sure that they have everything that they need to be successful, especially in rural communities where it's harder to get the training that they need, all of that stuff. So I'm really excited to start doing something back here in Minnesota again that will really, really make an impact.
Very good. Yes, I think this is a great thing going on. You know, there's been over many decades, pregnancy centers in the metro area have had their directors to get together with what was called fellowship, director's fellowship.
Yeah, and they still have those meetings. Yeah.
Right. And we used to participate. In fact, we hosted them for a while. And when we had a pregnancy counselor on staff years ago, that person was involved in it and so forth. So we've seen that and been a part of it from time to time. this idea of having this coalition group is so good. There are a couple other states, I believe, that may have them.
Yeah.
So, so it's just, you know, when these resource centers are just coming under attack, somebody needs to be there to help protect them. And that's what part of this is a little self-protection on the by the coalition. So I like that. And
there's a ton of interest too. I mean, there were individuals driving all the way up from Duluth or 5 hours away, even further away, to come to the introductory meeting to hear about what this coalition was starting. And so there, you can just sense there's a huge interest. There's a huge need for it. I think already 35 centers have joined the coalition out of the maybe around 80 that we have in the state of Minnesota. So off to a really, really great start.
And congratulations to you on this position. So very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
I had some good references.
Well, that's helpful. You had one really bad one. They overlooked him, me, and took you anyhow. So
I know.
Despite all the things I said, they still took you. Anyhow, so, well, you know, we have a vested interest in seeing these pregnancy centers do very well because we're trying to send the women who are going in for scheduled abortions right to pregnancy help centers that are nearby or anywhere in the state that are nearby where the woman might live as well. So it's very important to us. That's kind of sounds selfish, but it's a good selfishness that we want to see these centers thrive. So that's going on. Well, we got some really big news. And part of this is news that hit last week after Angela and I recorded this show. So we pre-record this a couple days ahead, and if some big news comes out, we got to wait a week before we can talk about it. And of course, the big news is multiple layers of big news now. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, three-judge panel, was asked by the state of Louisiana to enjoin the use of the abortion pill by mail order and require it to be in person only. This was after the circuit court judge had ruled and said, hey, look, and I'm almost quoting him in his decision. He said that he believed that the state of Louisiana would win on the merits of the lawsuit they brought against the FDA regarding this willy-nilly use of the abortion pill, especially the mail order stuff. But then he went on to say, because the FDA has promised to do a thorough safety review of the abortion pill, he wasn't going to enjoin its use by mail, by telemed, or whatever they want to call it nowadays.
Right.
So he didn't do that. So that's the only point that Louisiana appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court. Fifth Circuit Court said, we're enjoining this. You know, if he's saying they're going to win, he believes they're going to win, why aren't we enjoining it? They enjoined it.
Remember, well, that's kind of basically what I said. I was like, I don't understand. Yeah.
Right. None of us understood why he didn't enjoin it, other than maybe he was looking at the elections for some reason. I don't know. Judges aren't supposed to do that, right? So that happened. But then the very next day, or by Monday, I should say Monday, that happened on Friday. Then on Monday, the following Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court, the two manufacturers of mifepristone, which is the first drug, this is what was RU-46, this is the abortion pill itself in the regimen. This is one that can be reversed and all that stuff. They appealed. These two manufacturers of the drug did an emergency appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And now this is a case where when this type of emergency appeal goes before the U.S. Supreme Court, it goes to one justice. Whoever the justice is over the federal court circuit that it's coming out of. In this case, it was Justice Alito, who was on duty for the Fifth Circuit Court. So
I love Alito. He's a good one.
So they get to him, and what Alito does is he says, I'm temporarily putting a stay or withholding this injunction that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals allowed for, so that in person is still not necessary but it's only until the whole Supreme Court can hear the case, which will be this Monday, the day after Mother's Day. So the whole court's going to look at this thing on Monday and determine, and this, the only issue in front of them is whether there should be an injunction on the mail order side of this and require that the abortion pill only be dispensed in person, which is the way it was prior to COVID and the Biden administration stuff that they did. So this is going to still be very, very interesting in this coming week with regard to what happens with this case.
Oh, now,
there's some other stuff that's happened, though. So we get tidbits from some abortion organizations, okay? And one here in the state of Minnesota is called Just the Pill. If you've listened to the show for long, you've heard of us talk about this before. They started back in, I think, in 2020 or 2021 as a roaming van abortionist,
yes, that's right,
organization. Yep. So they had a van that was going to go around southwestern Minnesota primarily to try and draw women in from South Dakota and maybe northern Iowa, maybe even southern North Dakota, and kill their babies in Minnesota in a van. And then they got a second van. So they were going to also not just do abortion pill abortions that way, but then they were going to do surgical abortions out of a van as well. But then when Biden administration FDA lifted the in-person requirement and opened this Wild West free-for-all with the abortion pill, they transitioned to online mail order abortions. Okay, so that's where they've been ever since. Now, here's what they said just after this all came out. They said, Just the Pill is not pausing or stopping our telehealth abortion services. That's their phraseology for killing babies by mail. They go on to say, if this ruling stands, we will be providing all of our patients with a misoprostol-only regimen for medication abortion. Okay, so mifepristone is the abortion drug, the abortion pill that is manufactured for that purpose only out of Danco and Gen BioPro. Those two are the manufacturers of it, and they're the ones that sued to get it before the U.S. Supreme Court, appealed before the U.S. Supreme Court, okay? Misoprostol is, when it was first manufactured, the manufacturer said, this is not to be used for abortion. It is what is used as the second set of drugs in this abortion pill regimen that causes the woman to go into contractions and expel what should already be a dead baby from the abortion pill itself. Okay?
Right.
And so there, and the FDA said this is not this drug is not intended to be used for abortions, not solely, not by itself. Well, now you've got Just the Pill saying we're going to do this using this only. Then we see Whole Woman's, which is a small chain in the United States, but also is in the Twin Cities, and they came out and basically said the same thing, but they said all across the country, telehealth providers adapted immediately, and many providers moved to, now this is, they're calling it evidence-based protocols, including misoprostol-only regimens. Again, this drug that's not supposed to be used for this. And
these babies are going to be born alive.
Well, there's that. There's even worse complications for women.
Yeah.
Than using mifepristone, the two drug regimen. So this only drug, and there's no abortion pill reversal with this one,
right?
So once they take it, the baby is going to come out, is going to be born aborted, either alive or dead, and the woman may end up in larger numbers at emergency rooms with that as well. So this is their response, is to defy what is going on, defy the FDA's protocols and concepts. it's all about killing babies.
It is.
And it's not about the women. It's not about helping women, as they keep saying. It's not about
protecting
them. Right. They use the language. That's what they're doing. But they even use the terminology ensuring patients could still access safe, effective abortion. Nothing safe about this for the patient, for the woman, as well as certainly not for the baby, of course, which is what it's all about. So, like I said, more to come. This is going to be, this is going to get really crazy, I think. And going back to the whole thing, you know, the whole case, the FDA petitioned the court, which is why the court ruled and said, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to release this case because, you know, this is going back to the lower court that's now been lost on appeal and now is before the Supreme Court on this issue of an injunction. But the lower court was petitioned by the FDA to drop the case entirely because they were going to do safety protocols and or reviews, which they have promised, or they keep promising publicly, will be done sometime after the election.
Of course.
Before the end of the year. So, and of course, even secular media out there, Politico and some others out there, even pro-abortion secular media, have commented on that they're just trying to get past the election. They're trying to avoid the election with this issue, is what it's coming out from the FDA. And of course, the courts no longer are playing along with that concept, is what it looks like as well. So, so it'll be big day on Monday to see what happens with this case. Big day on Monday. So another big story out there. The National Abortion Federation. Now, this is an organization that is the kind of the policy and get together organization for all the abortion organizations in the United States. The National Abortion Federation, and they're a go to for the media when it comes to talking about anything regarding abortion. They're often sought after and used as a resource in the media and so forth like that. Well, it's now come out that they have been building dossiers to track pro-life activists all across the United States.
I want to know who's on there.
Well, I'd like to as well. So they're tracking activities, individuals, and groups. In this, they are apparently these dossiers contain personally identifying information. They've got addresses, photographs, spouses, minor children,
names
of associates, travel plans, and even driver's license numbers.
How are they getting this information?
Well, I don't know. Good question. I don't know for sure.
To me, like there's some collusion going on with the government. I don't know. I feel like I'm just so skeptical now. After the way that the FBI and CIA have targeted pro-life activists. Well,
there's also state governments involved, I would imagine, as well. I would guess at that. And you know, the National Abortion Federation is so deeply connected with the whole idea of the abortion pill. They helped lead in introducing mifepristone in the first place when it first came out back in you know, actually, they're doing this the late 1990s before it was approved in 2000 by the FDA. And so they were influential in that process. These guys are funded. They helped fund Danko, which was the first primary pill manufacturer in the United States. That's all they do at Danko, by the way. But then they also, their donors include the Hewlett Foundation, the Open Society Institute, the Zuckerman Family Fund, the Packard Foundation. So some of these very large foundations, the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation, Warren Buffett's foundation named after his late wife, funding this organization. And here they are collecting our names and addresses and even somehow our driver's licenses. So, and good question. How do they get that information? I hope
we find out. I'm just everything that we just reported on with the Southern Poverty Law Center, excuse me. Did we report on that on this show?
I believe we did, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's like there's clearly a great deal of antagonism, or there has been anyway, towards the important work that pro-lifers have been doing for quite some time now, and not just pro-lifers, but of course Catholics as well. But I hope we find out. I hope we get more information about that.
Well, and if my name and our organizational name is not on their list, I'll be very disappointed.
I know, I'll be a little offended. Like, I'm not doing enough. You know, that's why I want to know. Like, am I on the radar? You know?
We've only had state and city laws passed against us. I mean, so I will hope we're right on there.
I made the front page Star Trib back during the PRO Act with Veronica.
Yes,
on
my blog. Yes, you did. You know? Yes, you did. Testifying.
Yeah.
Well, in Virginia, there is a new lawsuit that is challenging the language of the Virginia Abortion Amendment, which is set to be on the ballot this fall. The law center is called Founding Freedoms Law Center, and it filed the lawsuit saying that the referendum that would enshrine abortion in their state constitution is unconstitutional because the ballot measure's language is misleading. Now, to be clear, every ballot measure that has been put forward to enshrine abortion in a state constitution in the past 3-4 years has had misleading language in it. And so in Virginia, they're trying to stop it because of the language. We'll see how the Virginia courts handle that, but that would be a Virginia court only thing, not a federal claim. So we'll have to follow that as it goes along, see what happens. Back in 2023, when we had our PRO Act passed on us and all this other stuff, one of the things that the state legislature did in their sweeping power move, they eliminated some of the language and some of the data that is collected related to abortions, because we have this very strong, actually at the time we had the strongest abortion reporting law in the country, and it got gutted a little bit by our state legislature. Well, state after state has been dealing with that ever since, doing similar things where they're pro-abortion states. Well, now New Mexico, which also is an abortion haven, has eliminated all reporting of abortion data. We don't want to know how many women are having abortions. We don't know how many babies are being killed. We don't want to know how many people are being harmed. We don't want to know this and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to know any reporting on abortion whatsoever. So they've removed that. And then in California, I kind of laugh a little bit before I start a very sad story, but I laugh because in my mind is a political ad I saw recently, to the song, the old Mamas and Papas song, California Dreamin', and it's just talking about the problems with the politicians in the state of California. Okay, but California lawmakers, here's another big problem they've got. They want non-physicians to be committing late term abortion.
You know, Brian, one of the biggest gripes that pro-abortion activists have with pregnancy centers is that supposedly their staff are not licensed, which, by the way, is just not true. They have licensed nurses working on staff and OB-GYNs as medical directors, that kind of stuff. But, you know, let's put that aside for a minute. Let's say they were right. Anything going on in a pregnancy center is not nearly as invasive as an abortion procedure. And they really don't care that this is being pushed in states like California. California will pretend on one hand to go after pregnancy centers because they're not safe for women, which is ridiculous. But they have no problem advocating for unlicensed people to just, commit abortions on women at any stage of pregnancy. It's crazy.
Right. Right. And this is a case of expanding what they're already allowing non-physicians to do with regard to abortions. Right now, it's already allowed for nurse practitioners and so forth to do first trimester abortions in California without even a doctor's oversight. So it's the insanity that's going on with that so forth. Planned Parenthood. We love to talk about the absolutely idiotic things that Planned Parenthood will say. Here's the latest one we're hearing from a blog post from Planned Parenthood telling women that they can tell their chemical abortion is complete when they see pregnancy tissue that looks similar to dryer lint. Okay. When a woman has a chemical abortion, she's having it at home or wherever she might be at that moment in time when because of the misoprostol, the second drug, she starts expelling the remains of that aborted baby. There is a whole human body there. And we're hearing even on places like Reddit and other social media, women who are not pro-life, who are talking about how shocked they were and how traumatized they are because they saw the intact body of their baby, sometimes still with a beating heart.
Yeah.
And Planned Parenthood calls this dryer lint.
Well, it's just, I feel like Planned Parenthood just, they're even willing to gaslight the, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, sadly, hundreds of thousands of women who have had abortions. And you can't get away with a lie like that for that long. You know what I mean? At some point, especially when we're talking about women having at-home abortions now, these DIY experiences that they're having, you can't just lie to all of these women forever. I mean, they are confronted with the reality of abortion when they see that baby, whether they like it or not. And that's the other reason why I think this change with getting rid of the mifepristone and using exclusively the misoprostol is going to have a unanticipated effect in that these women will be even more petrified at what they've done when they see their alive baby at home. I mean, I felt for a long time that these new laws where we permitted this, while there is horrendous and we have so many children dying, I do think in the end that God will use it to change the tide on abortion, because you can only lie to yourself for so long. And you can only take being gaslit by an organization like Planned Parenthood for so long when it's so obvious that they're lying.
Right, right. We just have a few moments left, and I want to throw out a story that Angela, you're going to want to talk about for 15 minutes, but
I won't.
we got a minute left. So this is an effort to create a new so-called male contraceptive.
Oh, I have read about this. I've reported on it. Yeah,
have you? So this biotech company called Cadraline has developed what they call Adam. ADAM. It's a water soluble hydrogel that's injected that's supposed to block male sperm transporting for up to 2 years and claims to be fully reversible at the same time. Now it's actually in trials. I saw it at a report where they're touting it as something great. Here's just in these last few seconds. It is so absolutely horrible and wrong. First of all, when men are able to engage in sexual activity with the belief and surety that they won't cause a baby to be created, they will act like animals. That's it. That's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.